So I'm just continuing the series that we've been doing on Wholehearted, a series that Andy came up with, as we've been doing the theme of we're a tribe, and we did about identity, didn't we? So as a tribe, we know who we are as a tribe, who we are in God, yeah? But then also as wholehearted, like what does that mean to then be a tribe? What does it look like to be a people of God? What does that look like? And hopefully I can try and answer that question. And really, it's just I suppose it's God's thoughts, but really this is where I'm up to in my walk with God as well, you know. So what is it to be wholehearted, really fully devoted follower of God? You know, what does wholehearted mean? And when I was preparing the sermon, I started off like I was trying to do some sort of motivational speech. And really get everyone geared up, fired up, so we'd all come out like, whoa, yes! But I quickly realised that's not my job to do that. That's down to you. That's down to where your heart is. And I could be the best speaker in the whole wide world, but if your heart wasn't in the right place to receive, then it would make a blind bit of difference, you know? Same as, you know, you go to worship. If the worship group are rubbish, but your heart is really in the place that just wants to seek God, then it won't matter, you know? So it's really, where's your heart up to? Luckily, ours are all right, like. Yeah, that's a good. So really, all I want to do is challenge us. Are we up to be challenged this morning? Maybe, depends what the challenge is. But a challenge is challenging, isn't it? It's supposed to be a challenge, supposed to be hard a challenge, otherwise it's not a challenge, is it? You know, but a challenge to one person isn't the same challenge to somebody else. If I just threw out a blanket challenge, for some people that would be easy. Like if I think in the gym where I work, if I threw out a challenge, some people would be able to do it, some people wouldn't be able to do it. So the challenge is specific to you, so you should be challenging yourself. It's different for everybody where you should be challenging yourself, but hopefully you just be receiving this challenge. Okay, so does God have a plan and a purpose for your life? Just Dave. Yeah. He does for all of us. And if you're not sure, you can read Matthew 28, where Jesus, when he was spending some of his last times with us, before he ascended off to heaven and his Holy Spirit came, you know, said all sorts of amazing things. But one of some of his last words that he really wanted to get into his disciples was this great commission. And he said to them in Matthew 28, verse 18, I'm sure most of you are familiar with it. And Jesus came and said to them, all authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything that I have commanded you. Some sort of obedience, something we're going to have to do, isn't it? And surely I am with you always to the very end of the age. That's what our Great Commission is. That's what we're here for. That's what we should be doing. Okay. My mouth's really drying up. So let me ask you another question. Do we love Jesus?
Yeah.
That's good. That wasn't bad. Do we love Jesus?
Yeah.
Should I do it one more time like Jesus? Like Jesus did to Peter. Yeah, when Jesus reinstated Peter, and he built him back up. He asked him three times, didn't he? Do we love Jesus?
Yes.
Isn't that what Dave does, definitely. And Jesus said, then feed my sheep. I'll keep hold of this. Be up and down. So what was it with a man with Peter where one minute he was denying his Saviour? Yeah. Running away, hiding and locking himself in a room with all the other disciples to turn to the point of giving his life to death on a cross. There was a change in him. Jesus reinstated him, but there was a change in his heart. And he went from, I'd say, half-hearted pushing it for Christ to wholehearted pushing it for Christ to death. Yeah, that's what Jesus did for us. So our identity is we are citizens of heaven. Are we not?
Yeah.
Isn't that amazing? We're all going to heaven. We're all going to see Jesus. We're all going to meet him. That is guaranteed. No one can pluck me from the Father's hand. No one can separate me from his love. I'm going to heaven.
Yeah.
Get in.
Yeah.
And hopefully all yous are coming with me. But I'm definitely going. Yeah. That's guaranteed. But have you heard of Benefits Britain? Seen that program, Benefits Britain? Seen it, where all the people in Britain are all on benefits and just claiming what they can and not willing to work. Are we benefits heaven? That's a good one. Thanks, Dave. In fact, are we benefits Britain? Are we just willing to sit on our benefits of being citizens of heaven, sitting in our grace, sitting in God's glory? Yes, we've done it. We're going to heaven. Job done. I don't think so. Jesus didn't say, come and follow me, and you'll never have to do another thing ever again. You'll never have to work another day in your life. Just come and sit and chill and wait till I take you to glory. Ace. Now, picking up your cross daily doesn't sound like a day off to me. Doesn't sound like an easy ride. What does it cost to follow Christ? Read Luke 9:57-62. You can have a read in your own time. Luke 9. Everything, basically. It costs you everything. In a worldly sense, it costs you everything. If I spent all my life savings, say, £10,000, that'd be nice, wouldn't it? Very. And I spent it on this massive mansion, you know, and it was just amazing. That would be money well spent, wouldn't it? Yeah, it'd be amazing. But even more so, if we give everything of this world to God, what do we get in return? We get a lot. Yeah, we get citizenship with heaven, but a hope and a future and a purpose and a plan and something eternal. Whatever you might lose in this life, you know, you gain so much more. Don't hold anything back. But it's not just about doing more. I just want to encourage us to really step it up this morning in our pursuit of Christ. I just like that word, pursuit. You know, I think of pursuit like a policeman pursuing a robber, going for it, getting after him, you know, nailing it. Do we pursue Christ in the same way? I want us to pursue Christ more than ever and step it up. Like in my job, I often say to my clients, you know, I find out where they're up to, what their goals are, what it is they've been doing, and I really want to just take them to the next level. I want to just take them from where you are, whatever plateaus you've hit, we're going to get you to the next level. And I really think that's what God wants to do with us. He wants us to take it up a little bit, take it up a gear. I don't want to be doing just this year what I did last year. I want new. I want more. I want to see God move more. I want to see people saved. I want to step out. I want to see God's glory come. I want to see, you know, miracles happen. I want to grow in faith. I want to step out in boldness more. You know, I want more. I'm expecting more because I'm going to go for it more and I'm going to pursue God even more. You know, when we train to lift weights, if you always lift the same weights, those weights get easier to lift. You know, you need to add on more weight. You know, you need to put more weight on if you want to get stronger. You know, there's no plateaus in God's kingdom. Because why would there be? Because it's eternal. Yeah, it just goes on and on and on. So why would that's enough? That's as much as far as you're going to go. There's always more in God. There's always more to pursue and to seek and to get and receive and give. There's no plateaus. I was thinking about Emma Keane when I was preparing this sermon. Sorry, Emma. Emma Keane rocks. She's amazing. And I used to train her. I used to do personal training with you, didn't I, Em? And Emma was brilliant. I've got lots of favourite clients, but Emma was in my top 10 favourite clients to train. Because when she came in, she would smash it. She would come in and she would train to the point where she was going to be sick, where she couldn't breathe. She'd be bright red, you know, she'd be sore. But she kept coming back. She kept doing it. She kept nailing it. And she got better. She got stronger. And she could do more. But her attitude was always, performance wasn't that important. What I love as a trainer is that if I said this is what you're going to do, she would smash it as much as she could. I love that. You should come out to my gym again, Emma. Let me train you. And that's how I want to be in a spiritual sense. I want to smash it every time. You know, I want to go out of my door in the morning and go into my workplace. And with the people that I see, I'm just going to smash it. I'm just going to saturate myself in God. And then I'm just going to have spiritual eyes everywhere I go. And I'm just going to show people love and show people grace and kindness and mercy and just show them how good my God is. Yeah, smashing it. You know, does my life fit around Jesus? Or does Jesus fit, you know, does Jesus just fit into my life? Or does my life fit around Jesus the other way around? You know, do I just try and get him in when I can? Or does everything I do in my life, a lot of us have to go to work and stuff, but does everything that I do evolve around Jesus? That's wholehearted for me. I looked up some words for wholehearted, and it describes someone I know really well. So some of those words were sincere, complete, committed, genuine, real, true. Keep up, Dave. Determined, earnest, warm, devoted, dedicated, enthusiastic, emphatic, hearty, heartfelt, passionate, zealous, unstinting, unreserved, unfeigned. I was like, wow, that's a lot. All those words, meaning other words for wholehearted, and when I keep going back to them, I just think, that's just like Jesus. Jesus' love for me, sincere, complete, committed, genuine, real, true, determined, and all the rest of the ones that I said. Google it. It's like a relationship with God, isn't it? Well, it is, with Jesus. If you give to that relationship, like any relationship, you know, those who are married or have partners will know, if you give to that relationship wholeheartedly, then that relationship will grow, it'll blossom, it'll bloom. But if I just have relationships around me and I have a relationship with God just to get my needs met all the time, just about me and me, then that relationship will suffer. I mean, I don't love Sarah just so she'll love me back. But if I do love Sarah, she will love me back. You know, it's easier to love someone who's loving. I love Sarah because I love her. She's amazing. She's amazing. She's so amazing. And because of who she is, she's the most amazing woman I've ever met. I'm scoring some brownie points. I'm scoring some brownie points, I said. Spank. No. Oh, come on. My lioness. She's my lioness. Ugh. Feisty. Don't mess with her. Don't slag me off, she'll kill you. Where am I? I love her because of who she is. More so with God. I don't serve him just so he'll sort me out. I serve him because I love him. Because of who he is. He's the creator of the universe. He set this whole world into motion. I only breathe because he allows me to breathe. I'm only here because God decided to create me, and the same for you. That's just mind-blowing. So I just love God for who he is, for what he's done as well. You know, he left his throne, became those who he created and died at their hands so we could have a relationship with him. That is just mad. And I love him. I love him. And because I love him, and I'm because I serve, he just can't help but pour himself into me. That's relationship. That's not religion, isn't it? Religion's just serving God because we have to, because we're told to. But like any relationship, it requires sacrifice in a spiritual sense, our flesh, and humility, you know, not pride about always getting our needs met and the things that we want, and service, serving in a relationship, our time and our resources. But sometimes we use God like a Sunday morning petrol station. Is that a good one? Just come fill up Sunday, and then we go all the way through the week, and then Sunday again, we need filling up. And it's good that we come to Sunday, and we come out of church, and we're like, I come out of church, like, wah! You know, but I want to be like that. God's not just here on a Sunday morning. God's in my life everywhere I go. Yeah. I can get fired up by myself. Yeah. I can put worship on. I can listen to the Bible. I could listen to the Bible. I can read the Bible as well. You can listen to it. I've got it on CD, mate. It's true. D-D-D. Okay. I can say I love you to God, but what would that look like if I never spent any time with him, never did anything with him? If I say I love you and then never saw her till next Sunday, never spoke to her, never called her, never did anything with her, relationship would be pants. Sarah might like that. So I looked up half-hearted as well. What's half-hearted sound like? Unenthusiastic. I don't even know what this word means, but it sounds good. Perfunctory. Lukewarm. Indifferent. Karen thinks I'm funny. She thinks everyone's funny. Lack is a good one. Hey, Tom, this is a good word. What was the word you used the other week which you said we should use more? You remember? Well, anyway. It was a good one. This is a good one. Lackadaisical. I thought it was lackadaisical, but it's not in this one. Maybe it's American, you know. Lackadaisical. Good word, that, isn't it? Anyway, that's half-hearted. Reluctant, unwilling, feeble. They're all half-hearted, aren't they? Like people who train half-hearted. You know, I've got a list of clients who come in each day, and I know it is, and I know who's going to come in and smash it, and I know who's going to come in and moan all the way through it. Like, and I just think, why have you turned up today? You know, what are you coming here for? Because everything I say, do you don't want. That's not you. She's laughing. That triggers your conscience. That's fine. I never said that. Okay. Or what always gets me is like when people say they're going to go on a diet. I'll start on Monday. That's wholehearted dieting, that isn't it? That's wholehearted. I'm going on a health kick. I'll wait till tomorrow. Do it tomorrow. That's better. I can't do it. God forbid, do it on a Sunday. Imagine that. Oh, you know what? Sometimes I say to my clients, I can't do it for you. I can't do it for you. You're going to have to do it yourself. And God isn't just always going to do everything for us.
No.
Take some effort on our part. And sometimes, stop grumbling and get on with it. Not like that one, did you? Yeah. So can we pursue God aggressively? Like that. I'm going to pursue God aggressively. I like that. You know when I come to lift up some weights and it's really heavy, I have to get a bit of channeled aggression. I'm going to lift this weight. It's not very much. Like, you know, I'm going to lift it. But I want to pursue God like I'm going to pursue God. I'm going to serve God. I'm not going to let this flesh dictate to me how I live my life just because I'm feeling a bit tired, just because I'd rather play on my phone, eh? You know, I'm going to pursue God aggressively. I'm not going to let the enemy have holds in my life that shouldn't be there. I'm not going to let him just have his way with other people when I see the enemies getting in on people. I'm going to get off, you know, get off, devil, in Jesus' name. I'm going to be more aggressive. It's not all right to be like that. More aggressive. Sometimes church is quite nice, isn't it? And it's fluffy, and it's not so dangerous, and it's not so risky, and it's nice. I like that sometimes. But sometimes I want a bit of aggression. I want to smash it. That's what I said. When I exercise, when I go, and I'll keep referring to this, but that's what I did. You know, when I go into a training session, I'm slowing down a little bit now, but I try and smash it. And if someone, not about being competitive, but if someone's trying to get past me, I'm going faster. I'm going to kill myself. You know, if we're all doing push-ups together, I am not going to quit first. No way. That's just the way I, there's no point. And what am I like when I come home? I can't flip and move, can I? Can't move for days. I smash it. You know, we sing that song, there's an army rising up, don't we? Sometimes I think, there's an army rising up. It's like, wow, yeah, the devil must be wetting himself. No, that's not to mock us, but sometimes, wow, there's an army rising up. Get some goosebumps going. Are we ready to go to war wholehearted? I used to think, what sort of soldier would I make? You don't have to tell me. I used to think I might be all right with the fizz, with the physical, but I don't know if I'd be all right with the mental and the discipline, and I just don't know if I could cope with it. I think I'd probably crumble up into a ball and rock myself to sleep crying and wet myself, something. Or what would I be like? Yeah, you're probably right, yeah. What would I have been like in a real battle? You know, where they've just like crumpled and just been over. They've been really on point, focused, got the job done, training kicked in, got on with the job, you know, watched everybody's backs and just done what I was supposed to do and just smashed it in war with it all, just come to the front. And then I asked myself, are we an army? What is an army? What's the point of me even joining an army and never expecting to go to war? That would be stupid, wouldn't it? But then imagine me going to war and some of us going to war and your whole company, your whole group just going a bit namby-pamby, you know, into this battle. A bit half-hearted, half effort. You know, some just lying, you know, in the late. Some don't even turn up to the battle. Some aren't even equipped. Yeah. Some aren't even really trained, you know, and they turn up to battle. You're going to get wiped out. Yeah, some reluctant to even get involved and just leave the fighting to all the other ones who always do the fighting. You know what I'm saying. When you become a Christian, you enter into a spiritual war, don't we? Absolutely, 100%. And we need to be wholehearted if we're going to fight in that war, 100%. Because if we're half-hearted, we're going to get... I can't... I was going to say. We're going to get whooped. couldn't think of another word. That's it being naughty. What's the point in coming every Sunday if our lives never look any different?
Yeah.
What's the point in coming and hearing this amazing sermon? Or reading God's word? Or reading God's words and never even just trying to put it all into practice? Even if you feel challenged on the day, that's great. But if you just go out and you're just exactly the same as you've always been, really, what is the point? There's no point. But if we can just go out, it's not about performance. Mike said that at the beginning. But if we can just go out, and even with the slightest bit of faith, by our fingernails, by our last strand of faith, hold on to God's goodness, hold on to God.
Yeah.
Faith as small as a mustard seed can move mountains. Just go out and just hang on to God and pursue him with everything that you've got, even if it's the smallest little bit. Who wants to see revival?
Amen.
Me. Yes, I do. I want to see revival, but some of us are going to have to really revive ourselves. Who wants to see a movement of God?
Yes.
Yes. Some of us are going to have to move and do. I necked all that. Ugh. So really what I'm up to and asking myself to do that, pursue God, to be wholehearted. What do I need to do? You know, I remember someone telling me when you're doing a sermon, the application's the most important part. Yeah, you can preach good teaching, that's all good knowledge, but we need to know how do we apply that. And for me, to have that wholeheartedness, and what I've done over these last few years is pray continuously. That's why I've been really excited about this sermon series, is to pray Psalm 139. You can turn to that Psalm 139 if you've got your Bibles. Now, I've prayed this over these last few years, and it has changed my life, because what I've had to do is really let God examine my heart and what parts of my heart that I hold back from God, what parts of my... Tom testified it just then. It was amazing that he allowed God to speak to him about something that shouldn't be there, that unforgiveness that God wanted to bring up and get that out. And then that Tom's free of that now. And we just need to allow God to examine our hearts. What is it, God, that I... You know, search me, know my heart, test me, know my anxious thoughts. See if there's an offensive way in me. This is Psalm 139, 23 to 24, right at the end. See if there's any offensive way in me and lead me in the way everlasting. Now, I've prayed that prayer a few times. I meant it with all my heart. And God has absolutely challenged me. And I've had to, you know, talk about things I've not wanted to talk about. Get things out, confess things, forgive myself. And really get these things out, this brokenness that I am. And God wants to bring them out in his gentle way, but in his little poke and, come on, let's get this sorted, Sam. And then that allows me to become more whole and more closer to him and see God really move in my life. And then because my heart is more whole, I pursue him more wholeheartedly. These things, that devil hasn't got a hook in me anymore, and I can go for it more. What am I doing for time? What's going on? And I challenge us today, that challenge that I was talking about at the beginning, is to challenge us to really ask God to examine our hearts. Where are our hearts this morning?
Yeah.
Are we willing to allow God to move us into wholeness? Are we willing to allow God to deal with fear in our lives and doubt? These are some of the things that God has done with me. And it's continuing to do confidence in him, confidence in myself, confidence in others. Sin. Are we ready to go to war on sin and the sin in our lives that we feel has got a grip on us that we can't get rid of, that we can't get a hold of? I can testify that God can sort these things out. There's a way out of the sin. You know, is it the sin that we're doing with our eyes? Is it sexual sin? You know, that is something God has freed me from. From pornography. Massive one that I didn't think I'd be able to get a control of. And 100%, I'm not complacent, I'm not naive, but I know 100% God frees me from that.
Amen.
And God can rescue you from wherever you are if you're willing to allow him and submit to him humbly in your heart and allow him into your life more and pursue him with everything that you've got. Are you weary? Are you tired? Are you cynical? Are you fed up? You know, God wants to light your fire again.
Amen. Amen.
And whatever it is it unforgiveness in your heart? Is it pride? Pride's a massive one, and it's a hard one to recognize in yourself. And that's a biggie for me, that God really revealed my pride. The more proud you are, the less you see your pride. You know, God wants us to challenge our comfiness, our apathy, our laziness, our procrastination, how much time we spend watching TV, how much time we spend on social media, on Facebook, how much time do we give God and how much time do we give other things? Those things aren't necessarily bad, but if you spend 20 hours a week watching telly and you say a quick prayer once a week on a Sunday, there's just not a good balance there, is there?
No.
We know our identity in Christ. We're covered in grace. You know, I made pure in his righteousness. That's who I am. It's not about trying to be better and be more, but I want to pursue God. If I want to see things happen in my life, we need to be putting things in place. Let's whiz on. I am like at a point now where I believe that just when I'm starting to feel like I've got things sussed out and I'm doing all right, I need to challenge myself and ask myself, am I really living wholehearted for God? If I'm starting to feel like I'm just coasting and getting complacent. You know, God's calling us to this next level, I believe. And when someone calls you, it's up to you to answer. You know, if the phone rings, it's the mother-in-law. I'm busy. She won't listen to this, it's fine. I was going to say the wife, but she'd kill me. Always answer that one, babe. Always. Better make sure I do now, haven't I? But when God calls us, we can choose to answer, can't we? We can bury our heads in the sand. When he's calling us out, when he's calling us to step out, when he's calling us to do more, love more, you know, whatever, it's up to us to answer. Sometimes I hear people say, and almost frustratingly, you know, God, what do you want me to do? What do you want me to do, God? Like, God, I just want you to call me out and, you know, show me what it is I'm supposed to do. And God says, I want you to love me with all your heart, with all your mind, with all your soul, with all your strength, with absolutely everything you've got. I want you to love me, and therefore then I want you to love others. And we say, yeah, God, but what do you want me to do? And we want to do the big things. But do we want to even do the small things first?
Yeah.
Sometimes service is the next level. Who wants to serve more? Yeah, me. You know, when Jesus was like, again, doing all the, you know, some of his last words to all his disciples and that before, you know, one was when before he went and got crucified and they were having their last meal together. And Jesus says, all power and authority under heaven has been given to me. And he goes around washing everybody's feet. Who wants to wash some feet? Jesus gave us the example. Who wants to do that? I want to save the world. I don't want to wash anyone's feet though, you know. I want to run a marathon, but I don't want to train for it. We don't make time sometimes, do we? To make a quiet time all week to listen to God's voice for his direction in our lives, where we should be going, what we should be doing. We don't pour out our hearts to him. I'm going to whiz on. I'm just going to go through the whole of Matthew 5 and 6. I've listed it all down. There's so much application because it's just amazing, really. I'm not going to, though. Just look at all that. Spare you it. You want some application, read Matthew 5 and 6 and 7 and 8 and keep going. It's amazing. Always all that over. Are we supposed to live perfect? No. Are we going to live wholehearted?
Yes.
Galatians 5 says, I'm on my last page now. It doesn't say that, but it is. Galatians 5 says in verse 6, the only thing that counts is faith expressing itself through love. And 5:13 says, you my brothers and sisters, that's you, were called to be free. But do not use your freedom to indulge in the flesh. Because we're covered by grace, we can do whatever we want. But rather, serve one another humbly in love. Am I getting this point across now? I think I've said it a few times, haven't I? But you know those things that God has prompted you to do, you know, love other people, give that person a phone call, drop them a text, send them a card, do that thing for somebody, serve each other humbly in love. Go and do it. Stop putting it off. You know, read your Bible more because you want to know to get to know your Lord and your Savior. Pray to him and talk to him. I love my connect group. Tom's already talked about our connect group. I love these people, or I'd say with wholehearted people who I want to be more like, who just, I know there's other connect groups and know they're all the same, you know, but these people I spend more time with, whose hearts are after God, who want more. Oh, and we challenge each other and push each other and want to grow together and save people together and go out and do it. We're here to give what we have, do what we can, and let God do the rest. Amen. You know, like that little boy who brought his fish and his loaves to Jesus. That's all he had. You know, and I think that's interesting. I don't reckon, it doesn't say it's in the Bible, but I don't reckon he stuck a couple of fish and a loaf in that pocket and said, "Oh, Jesus, that's all." There was actually 7 loaves and 10 fishes, you know. I think he just said, "This is everything that I've got. Yeah. Take that. You know, and I'm willing to be starving. You can have it." And what did Jesus do? 12 baskets full to overflowing, and everyone was full. What about the widow woman with a little bit of oil? Do you know that story? Was it Elijah? Challenged that woman. She's got a little bit of oil, and he says, "Gather all the jars in all the village and just pour it into that jar, and then pours it into the next jar, and pours it into the next jar until all the jars are full in the whole village to overflowing." You know, just bring your little bit of oil. And go round, pouring that oil out, yeah, to other people. You might only have something little, but Jesus can make it big. Amen. Jesus says to Moses, "What's that in your hand?"
"Yeah, praise God."
"Staff. Pff, drop it on the floor, snake." Pharaoh's snakes gobble them up. You know the story. Jesus says, "What have you got in your hand?" David goes to slay Goliath with a couple of pebbles and a sling. You know, he didn't have armor and a great big sword, but he was like, he went to war, didn't he?
Yeah.
He give it some. He said, "Oh, you're slagging my God off. I'm going to cut your head off." Yes. Just a little sling and a stone, and he smashed him. I don't know where I am now. Nearly there. We go, we offer, and God does, yeah? These are all faith in action, and God does the rest. That's our challenge. Just go and offer what you've got. So I asked at the beginning, what does it look like to be a wholehearted people of God? People who live sacrificial lives, like Jesus. People who live humble lives, like Jesus. Lives of service, committed to the cause, aggressively pursuing God, trained in battle, ready soldiers, doing everything out of love, just like Jesus. Who's got something in the hand they can offer? Everyone.
Yeah.
Answer that for you. Who wants that challenge to be pushed to take a step forward, to move forward into a new level? Who's ready to pray for God to reveal their brokenness so they can receive God's wholeness? That's our challenge this morning. So that's me done. And I think there needs to be a time to respond. And that can be on your knees, that can be in your chair, but that's a wholehearted response. That can be to come out to the front and just respond with your hands up and say, "Yeah, me." We can bring the kids in, can't we? But just respond to anything that God might have said to you this morning. To step it up, to go to war, to be challenged, to pursue God in a new way, not like you did last week and last year and the week before that and the year before that, but with a new mind, a new focus, a new expectation, and a new fervor and desire to really push aside all the things that get in my way of seeing God more in my life and your life. Let's do it, Arlene.